You're in tune with What It Is on WNCW. For Public Radio, I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Jeff Eason of The Blowing Rocket and Fred Mills of Blurt Online. Today, we're talking about the ever-evolving battle between the music industry and the pirates trying to take the music and give it away for free, and how the battlefield has evolved into a completely digital one nowadays.
Well, all three of us in this room, we've been the recipients of advanced copies of CDs, and you feel very privileged as such, and there's a trust there. And so when you get these review copies, you know, you don't want to, you know, make copies for all your friends, because that could lose you the right to be a reviewer. And I think all of us understand that. But the problem is there's a lot of people out there that receive these advanced copies that don't feel like that trust is something that they want to adhere to.
Well, everybody has heard about being able to obtain music illegally over the internet, and sure, if you want to go get the new Mariah Carey album that came out a couple of weeks ago, you can find it at a download site or a torrent site, and more on that in just a moment. But the actual leaks, people don't stop to think that these actually come from people in the industry. Frequently, my peers, music writers, the most recent Wilco album, I'll never forget, it was a light bulb moment. Got that in the mail on a Saturday, I believe, and a hard copy, a CD. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, I bet you this will be on the internet by Monday. Sure enough, it leaked Sunday night, and by Monday evening, Wilco had decided to stream the entire album for free from their site, or maybe MySpace Music, as a reaction to that. So that just goes to show you that I'm not sure what the motivation is for people to leak music, but, you know, that's a moot point. People are leaking music, and it means that the industry is scrambling, trying to figure out how to address these things. In Wilco's case, their move was reactive, but it's becoming actually a proactive method to sort of undermine the attractiveness of a leak. So, for example, them Crooked Vultures, the new supergroup with Josh Homme, Dave Grohl, and John Paul Jones, what they did, they started this very, very astute marketing campaign. First, they started putting things out on Twitter, and then they put a 30-second song clip up on YouTube. And then finally, they gave away a couple of songs for free downloads, and then they started streaming the entire thing. Now, simultaneously, the thing leaked, but from what I understand, the plans was to stream the entire album anyway. U2 streamed their entire album weeks before it came out. This is becoming kind of the standard procedure. Bands are streaming their stuff at MySpace Music. They're doing it through NPR as part of NPR's First Look program. And what it means is that the digital genie is out of the bottle, and the record companies are no longer trying to plug it quite so relentlessly through lawsuits. And
the really, whack-a-mole just didn't work.
The whack-a-mole method did not work. We could talk about the whole RIAA lawsuits another time, but they slowly and grudgingly realized that this was not the proper response. What they have to do now is figure out what the consumers want and how to address it. Well, what consumers apparently want is they want their music now when they want it and not later. So if one method of doing that is to make it available, then hopefully the potential customer base will respond with a little bit of loyalty to their bands and go out and buy the album. Or if they don't buy the album, at least buy the merchandise, T-shirts, concert tickets, what have you. But we're in kind of a turmoil right now.
One of the things I fear is they're going to go back to an earlier tactic, which, you know, kind of cheesed off a lot of reviewers like ourselves, is they would release an advanced copy of a CD, and then, like, at certain portions of the songs, there would be beeps, or there would be interruptions, or there would actually be a voice coming on telling you that this was, you know, property of so-and-so. And they may do that now with MP3s, you know, that are out for review. And it'd be kind of an ugly situation, because you don't really get a chance to review an album properly that way. And then you definitely don't want to enjoy it on your own afterwards.
Other strategies like watermarking and trying to make it so that it can be identified later. Mm-hmm. If you, the reviewer, take and distribute this, then they can come back and point the finger to you.
And all these strategies are doomed to failure anyway. There's software that can strip watermarking. If the song, say you're a journalist and they say, well, we'll give you streaming audio of this new album, but we're not going to give you advanced CD or MP3s that you can download and put on your iPod. You have to listen to it at home over your computer and everything. There's ways you can burn that stream now. There's software. So there's, for every little action, there's a reaction. And typically, it's a technological wrinkle that's a response to another technological wrinkle. I mean, we're in the post-Napster era, and everybody knows the Napster story. But as technology has advanced and high-speed broadband has begun penetrating American households, well, international households, it seems like those that have a vested interest in hearing and distributing music illicitly are always ahead of the curve.
And now some of the piracy has literally taken itself overseas. It's gone over to China and the mega sites. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks can go and get things directly from this one site as opposed to the way that the BitTorrents of the world work, where you're dealing with many, many machines and little bits and pieces of information flowing back and forth to a central point and back to the users, etc. This is just the old-fashioned Napster sort of model of here's all this material on one site, go get it. And because it's in this other country, it's extremely difficult to prosecute.
Well, you or I mean, I'll never forget, I got the Springsteen Magic album about a month before, and it came from a person that is in tight with the Springsteen camp. He got a copy, and he literally sent me the entire thing in MP3s over just not a file sharing site. It was a file transfer site where you can compress the entire album in MP3s into what's essentially a zip file. Then that service sends me an email, and I click on the link, and I download the zip file, and then I can unlock the zip file and transfer it to my computer. So I had the Springsteen Magic album a month ahead of time. And I'm not saying that bragging. I'm just saying this is how people do it. And these mega sites that Joe, that you mentioned, are just taking it to the logical extreme. I was looking at this article that was printed about it. Those mega sites include such great names as megavideo.com, megaupload.com, megarotic.com, megaclick.com, and then other various mega sites. And according to this report, the web hosting firm generated 0.6% of all online traffic in July. Now, just to put that in perspective, the article points out that's twice as much of the bandwidth consumed by Facebook. So, and that is a lot of web traffic.
And you have to think, you know, if Hollywood cannot stop these guys from distributing their films, I mean, what chance does a music company? You know, because Hollywood, we're talking about billions and billions of dollars worth of revenue, and they've got the muscle to maybe, you know, do something about it, and even they can't.
Well, I mean, one person was quoted in this article about the mega sites as saying it's easier than going to the iTunes store. Now, that statement alone ought to send a chill down anybody working in the industry or music industry, movie industry, or software industry, gaming industry. We're not just talking about people mm-hmm. downloading CDs. We're far beyond that. We're talking like complete movies.
Well, there's a couple of different kinds of folks that will take free music or free media. And on one hand, you have the kind that's just going to take what's free, and then that's their only form that they're going to use. They're just going to use what's free. But then there is on the other side of that is someone who's actually going to wind up buying more material right. in addition to these downloads. So that's sort of like their primer, their sort of entry point into it. Maybe they browse that way. But there has been some research that has pointed out that there are a lot of people that actually are your best customers. They also happen to take these downloads.
Well, that goes all the way back to tape traders. I think everybody knows the Grateful Dead model of allowing taping at concerts and everything. Definitely bred a loyal Grateful Dead consumer and fan. They just happen to want to have it all. And as other bands picked up that model and allowed taping and allowed tape trading, it became, you know, sort of like your badge as a fan. You know, I'm going to support this band by buying the concert tickets, buying the T-shirts, buying CDs, and in return, they're going to let me hear all the other stuff. And it seemed to be a pretty fair exchange. But I just wonder, though, it seems like, you know, we've read recently stories about how The internet has ushered in an age of new anger and rudeness because you can kind of be abrasive.
Be so anonymous.
Yeah, you can be abrasive and anonymous. Now, I wonder, is the internet also kind of creating a new breed of dishonest person? You know, there's that old saying, you know, you can really test someone's honesty by giving them an opportunity. There have been scientific psychological studies of these, seeing what people will do if certain opportunities available to them.
When they know that nobody's looking.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering if we're seeing a little bit of that with the internet too. So again, it's things are in turmoil and flux. And I'm not sure where's the dust is going to settle, but for the moment, the artists are kind of taking it on the chin, and I think people need to realize that you are taking money out of their pockets. So if you're going to, you know, access this music, you need to reciprocate in some way. Revert to that old Grateful Dead model, folks.
What do you think? Email us whatitis at wncw.org. Your thoughts on the continuing battle to put the genie back in the bottle of music piracy. For Public Radio, I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Jeff Eason and Fred Mills. Until next time.